Lee just shared. I am Karen Buchanan. I am our prayer team leader here, and I get the awesome gift of getting to share the message today. We will, as always, open with our mission statement, and I forgot to check and see, do we have a slide for it, or are we going to get to say it with none? We got a slide. Ready? Let's read it. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. I love that reminder that centers us, that we're not just here checking off the church box. It's good, isn't it? So, on to the message. I had messed up again. And sometimes, don't you get so tired of saying, I messed up again? I had messed up again. My intentions were good, but my approach had been wrong. And now, painful consequences were beginning to roll in, mostly for me, but also for others. People I loved were paying the price for my decisions and my actions, and I hadn't seen that coming. But why hadn't I? This awful pattern had repeated itself over and over again, and I should have guessed that, you know, if it's happened before, it can happen again, right? Still, I was surprised, and I was sorry. And I couldn't find a way to fix the damage I had done. Sometimes you can't fix what you did, right? I was embarrassed, and I was frustrated, and I was ashamed as I thought about it all. It left this big ball of tension in my tummy. Have you ever had that one? Ugh. And I was fighting tears, so that gave me, you get the headache from trying not to cry, right? And I wanted to run away and hide and just quit trying to figure life out. You know, clearly I can't figure this out. I'm just a screw up. Maybe I just need to quit. So, and in addition to that, I decided to be preemptively angry at the people who might judge me for my bad decision. You know, they hadn't judged me yet, understand. They'd had no opportunity. Have you ever done that? I'm already mad at you because I think you're going to judge me. So I did some of that too. And so I struggled to think up a defense, you know, some words that would justify me before others. But there were no words like that. The simple truth was, I had messed up. Not thought things through, not chosen wisely, no way to go back and change it, no matter how hard I tried. Finally, having struggled with all my might, and having failed to figure out how to change the way things had gone, I resorted to one last thing. I prayed. That's like a last resort, right? Why is it a last resort? I cried to God in simple, heartfelt words, and I wept, and I carried on until I had no more words and no more tears and nothing else. And in that quiet aftermath, God kind of redirected my thoughts, you know, as I just listened and waited for Him. Sure, the rotten feeling of consequences after mistakes was super familiar territory. It was kind of where I lived most of the time. But hadn't something else been happening lately, too? Since my world had crashed so hard that I stopped playing at church and went running to Jesus, wasn't there a new pattern developing? After each round of pain and shame, hadn't something different begun to follow? Oh, yeah. So reviewing the recent years like a film reel in my mind, I saw gifts from pain. I saw that God had been changing me and growing me and using the fertilizer of what I had been doing. And isn't some of what we do like real fertilizer? We're from here, so we know what's in fertilizer, right? Okay. I used those things to grow beauty in my heart. He had been using the circumstances to file the rough edges off my mind. And he had been making every breaking point a tenderizer for my soul. Every difficult passage had led me to a new place of intimacy with him. Looking back, I could see really clearly God's fingerprints on my life. And, you know, how he had reframed everything for me. And that reframed my pain in an instant. So, okay, yeah, the moment of consequence is hard. The moment when you can't fix it is super hard. But it was also this door opening, and it's beckoning me into a little space of peace with God. I could enter in and know him more and experience hope, or I still have another choice. I could focus on the freak out, and I could stay miserable and lonely, and that choice was mine. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, tells us that three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Today, I'd like to share with you something I have learned about hope. But first, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day and this wonderful opportunity to worship you together as a family. We thank you for your word that teaches us and instructs us and changes us all the time. And we do thank you for hope. Lord, just speak to our hearts and help us to come open and willing to hear whatever you are saying today, regardless of what I am saying. Come and speak to us, your people. We're looking to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever struggled to learn something new, and then you hit an obstacle, and, you know, then you gave up? You ever done that? Like, maybe you decided, I'm just not really gifted in that area. Or, like, I don't have time. I do not have the time to put in to learn this. On the other hand, have you ever fought through the obstacles and just kept making one more yes decision, and one more yes decision, and one more yes decision? And even though it seemed like you were failing, eventually you made the goal. Have you been there? If you've ever quit, how do you feel when you review that historical fact? Are you proud, or do you, like I did, search for a narrative that justifies you? What do you feel like quitting says about who you are? Does it leave you feeling more hopeful, or maybe less? And if you've ever pushed through for the win, how does remembering that make you feel? Is it a story you like to share, or do you want to hide it? How do you think perseverance has shaped your character? Does it give you courage and hope for other things? If you're short on hope today, and we're all short on hope sometimes, right? I'm here to challenge you. Stop and examine how you're approaching your troubles, and we'll see why in a moment. We all have troubles, right? Scripture promises that we will, which is sort of the opposite of what you might think if you're just paying attention to some elements of church culture and not so much to your Bible. But it does actually promise that we will have trouble. But what rises up in you when trouble comes? Complaint or trust? Struggle or prayer? Resentment or surrender? Do you scramble, or do you wait on the Lord? Do you get mad and start making unhelpful choices because it doesn't matter anyhow? See, I can ask these questions because these are all things I've done, okay? How do other people fare if they are near you during times of trouble? Do others exist just to be sounding boards about your many, many troubles and your hard luck story? Or are you able to notice that they have their own troubles too? Do you take out your frustrations on your family when things aren't working out? At my house, we have an 18-year-old cat. His name is Chester Bing. If I was a better cat owner, there would be a picture up here of him right now. But I didn't think of it till this very moment because I'm not a very good cat owner. He has dementia. He's 18. And his life is so full of troubles, if you ask him. Any moment that we're not holding him, petting him, or hand-feeding him treats, you know, preferably really all three at the same time, okay, to be honest, he is displeased. He walks around and he howls in this voice that is so deep and so loud that if we stand in our back alley with all the windows and doors shut, you can hear him. Okay? That loud. And he even experiments with acoustics in the house to find the spots that best amplify, you know? He's got two spots that, like, it feels like the house is shaking when he, you know, does his routine. He howls and he complains for big long stretches of time. So sometimes he wakes me up in the night. And to entertain myself, sometimes I count, okay? So one night he howled 9 long howls, short break. 9 long howls, short break. 27 howls in a row! I am not making this up! I don't know how he had a voice left to do it. I really don't. When I get home from work, he runs from wherever he is, not to greet me and say hello, but just to complain. He has this cranky old Oscar the Grouch voice, and he complains, and he lays across doors so that he can be offended when I walk past him, you know. He is just so crabby, and his only plea seems to be, what about the cat? When is this going to be about the cat? What about me? That is Chester Bing. What about me? Do your troubles turn you into Chester Bing? They do me sometimes. Complaining is one strategy in the face of trouble. Certainly we all use it to some extent. But while I was studying in the book of Romans, I discovered what I have come to call the chain of hope. And believe it or not, the chain of hope that has hope at this end has troubles at this end. And we're going to look at that. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, says that we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Did you catch that? Tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. The book of Romans is written by Paul to the church in Rome. And it's kind of a map for applying theology to everyday life. And this is really practical advice that Paul is passing along here. I really also like the way the version of the Bible that's called The Voice says it. I had never heard of the version called The Voice until 2016 when I was listening through the Bible in a year. It's a pretty cool version, and it says it like this. We also celebrate in seasons of suffering because we know that when we suffer, we develop endurance, which shapes our characters. When our characters are refined, we learn what it means to hope and anticipate God's goodness. And hope will never fail to satisfy our deepest need because the Holy Spirit that was given to us has flooded our hearts with God's love. And I'm just going to throw in one more version for fun. It's the Message, which is actually a paraphrase, but I like some things it pulls out. And it says, boy, I'm just making noise on that. It says, we continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. So that's perseverance, right? Passionate patience. And how that patience, in turn, forges the tempered steel of virtue. That's character. The tempered steel of virtue. Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy, and that's what how they're saying hope, alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. If you're going to remember just one point from today's message, let it be this. Troubles are part of a chain that can lead us to hope. The decision is ours. It's a chain with one piece linked to the next. And when we break it, it cuts us off from the rest. Troubles have the power to teach us patience and perseverance. Starting, and this is the hard part, starting with thanking and trusting God even during hard times. That choice is available to me and to you. When we let it do so, we move to the next link in the chain. And when we don't, it all comes apart. Perseverance has the power to build character in us. That choice is available to me and to you. When we let it do so, we move to the next link. And when we don't, it all comes apart. Character has the power to bring us hope. When we stick to it, that choice is available to me and to you. When we stick with character, we move to the next link. When we don't, it all comes apart. When trouble comes and I choose to keep trying, I'm moving toward patience. And here's the important thing. Even if I don't feel patient. Okay? When I keep trying and I'm so angry and so frustrated, and maybe you're not like me, maybe you don't do that, but frequently I am filled with rage when I'm choosing to keep persevering. I'm just like, why does it have to be this way? Okay? You don't have to feel patient. You just have to do it. You're moving toward patience. Patience isn't so much about feelings as we think it is. When trouble comes and I give up, I'm breaking the chain that pulls me to hope. As I continue to persevere, it builds character in me. And what that means is it changes me in a way that makes it a little easier for me to do the next right thing. When I quit, I move toward a habit of quitting. And when I've grown some real character, and I take every little opportunity to do what I know to be right, even when I hate doing what's right in the moment. Maybe you never hate doing what's right. I frequently hate doing what's right. I usually don't write about it till afterwards, and then everyone knows how I was, all the angst I had. But that develops my capacity for hope. When I know what's right, but then I decide, I'm really tired of this. I always do what's right, and I don't get what I need. I'm just not going to do it this time. I'm just going to do what I want. And haven't we all done that? Then I'm cutting that chain. When I have a grip on hope, I am exponentially more able to deal with whatever life throws at me. That is a self-perpetuating cycle. Troubles are part of a chain that can lead us to hope. The decision is ours. One important note here as I'm saying this is it's really easy to see this chain of hope as a pull yourself up by your bootstraps thing. And especially because we are right here in the Midwest where that is all we're ever told, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Just be a little stronger, be a little better, you'll be fine. Stop complaining. And certainly in some circumstances we can pull ourselves up. But if we're relying only on our own strength to get through every single one of our troubles, sooner or later we're going to crash and burn. You need to remember this. If it's a chain, if I'm at the troubles end of the chain, I need to remember that God is over here at the hope end, okay? And he doesn't let go. And I am one person, so I can't be in two places at the same time, so I can't hold both ends of the chain. He's here. I got to remember that and depend on that. When troubles come, we lean on God as we persevere. We trust his intentions toward us. And it's easy not to do that. It's easy to get mad at God about why is my life not working the way I think it should. But we trust his intentions toward us and his ability to handle the situation. We walk out our trust by following the things we already know that he has said. And we do that knowing that it creates a safety zone. We don't do what he has said because we're trying to earn brownie points and make him love us more. He's not going to love us more. He already loves us as much as he can love us. Okay? So we're not doing it to suck up to God. Okay, we're doing it because we know if he told us to do something, it's a safety zone. Do it. Important thing when you're working this out, we need to get our discernment from God to know which things are a I need to persevere thing, and which things we never should have started in the first place. Not all quitting is bad. Not all quitting is wrong. Sometimes quitting is actually repentance. So just because you started something, I'm not saying we have to finish everything we start. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord, and he says, oh, honey, I didn't tell you to do that. Stop it right now. When troubles come, trust God and let him empower you to persevere. Remember that he is holding the other end of the chain. It's often as simple as agreeing with God about what you should do, even if you have no idea how you're going to do it. He will honor that willingness, and he comes in and gives you power or knowledge or some special helper, something, to do what you couldn't do without him. As your perseverance teaches you about the right thing to do, keep trusting God and doing that thing. And as you keep doing the next right thing, hope will become a thing that you can hold on to. And you might notice when you get there, I'm holding the same link God is. He's holding hope. I'm holding hope. We're holding hope together. And as you hold on to hope in Christ, none of the troubles that have come along have the power to take it away from you. Troubles are part of a chain that can lead us to hope. The decision is ours. Are you short on hope today? Does it seem like everyone else gets all the breaks, all the goodies, all the prizes? Or maybe your life is more or less working out. It's pretty good. But there's that one thing, that one area that you've kind of lost hope about. As the worship team comes, we're going to turn off the noise of noticing other people. I just want everyone to close your eyes for a moment. And just think while I ask these questions. Where are you short on hope? Take a moment to replay how that story has been evolving in your life. How have you dealt with troubles as they have come along? Are you trying to manage them without God? Did you get mad or tired and quit? Are your thoughts filled with steady complaints about it? If you're short on hope, but you can't even think of any answers to any of this, ask God to open your understanding of what's been pushed under, what your mind is not letting you see. What would it look like to choose perseverance instead? And maybe you can't do that under your own power. Can you lean into God, not try harder, just lean into God and agree with Him that He can do it in you, He can do it through you. Can you decide to follow His lead, even if you don't like it, even if you don't understand why? Take a moment to consider that. Let's pray. Lord, we need your hope. Hope we have. We sit back to the point of trouble. We ask that you give us the courage to really see our own role. Thank you. Choose at any moment a different direction. Lord, we where that desire is small or has grown cold. We want to honor you with our patience and walk out our trust in you through perseverance. We want to bring you glory with the character you enlarge in us. We want to be full of contagious, life-giving, world-changing hope. Thank you for holding the other end of the chain and never, ever, ever letting go. Help us to take this scripture out of the church with us and hold it up daily as a mirror. Help us to follow you so nearly that others who look at us only see you. We want to know you more, and we want others to know you more. We call on you. Fill us and empower us with your Holy Spirit, and we will not fail to give you all the glory and praise. Thank you, Lord. For all that we cannot do, we watch to see how you will do it. We wait on you. We depend on you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.